Calling God our Father today can lead to many misunderstandings, I think. In a world where more and more fathers are abandoning their families, a lot of people have a misconception of what it means to be a father, who a father is supposed to be. 43% of children today grow up without a father in their home. It's not that they don't have a father, it's just their father doesn't live with them. Maybe their parents are still even married, but for some reason the father travels a lot or is not involved. Of the remaining 57% of the children that do grow up with a father in the home, the father is often very disinterested or disinvolved, uninvolved with the rearing of the children. So when we speak of God being our Father, we have to clarify what that means. We have to talk about what makes God the Father. Why do we call Him Father? Rather than comparing God with earthly fathers, we often find ourselves in a position where we have to contrast our Father in heaven with our earthly father. When we're talking to somebody and we tell them that God is the Father, they might misunderstand what that's supposed to mean. He's different than what the stereotypical father acts like today. He's different from how so many Americans view their own fathers. I don't think the illustration's broken. I think people do realize when we talk about God being Father that He's the perfect Father, right? He's not their conception of what a father is. But we still need to make that contrast. How is God different? How is our Father in heaven different than the fathers that we often encounter in our own lives? Well, God hears us when we cry out to Him. He makes time for us all the time. He's never too busy. He's never preoccupied with other things. Even though He controls the whole universe, sustains all things, He always has time to hear His children speak to Him. God's never going to fail us. He will always protect us. He will always be there when we need Him. He will always wrap His arms around His children. He's never going to leave us. He's made His home inside of us. What other father can be said of that? He's never going to leave us. And although the scripture that I want to read this morning talks about fathers, I really want us to direct ourselves to the Holy Spirit eventually as well. I'm still doing this series on the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look at how God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are intertwined and how that relates to us as well. And for that we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Our one verse that we're going to look at is verse 6, but I want to read starting in verse 4 to give it a little context. So Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Let's pray together. God, we praise You for the fathers in our lives and in the midst of Your people who have been good to us. Whether they're our own father or a person in our life that acted as a father to us when we didn't know a godly example of a father. God, we praise You for those men who reflected You to us. And we ask, God, that You would conform us to the image of Your Son. Through Your Spirit, sanctify us, God, so that all of us might be that type of person to those in our lives. The kind of person who cares for them, who shows them Your love, who will never leave them, but will always be there to protect them and to help them and to show Your love to them. Teach us through Your word this morning. I pray that You would change us. Give us a fuller understanding of You, of Your Spirit, and our relationship with You through Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the first words that a baby utters is dada, right? and how it gives us great joy when a father hears those words come from your child, Dada. I don't know why the child chooses to say Dada first rather than Mama, but so often Dada are the first words, Dada. Our child right now, our youngest Emily, is 4 months old. And she doesn't say Dada yet, but she says hi. I don't know if she knows what she's saying, but we act like she knows what she's saying because we say hi to her and she'll say hi to us back. And it's so precious. But when she starts saying Dada, for a father to hear that come from her lips, that just brings such joy. Even before our children say Dada, though, the baby often will say the Aramaic form of Dada, which is Abba. Even now, we hear our baby starting to make those kinds of noises. She hasn't said Abba yet, but she's about to. She says Baba, and after that, she's going to say Abba. And that literally means daddy, Dada. And there's a debate today as to whether or not Abba in the Bible literally means daddy. It seems to resemble child babble, child baby talk. And today in the Aramaic language, because it's still a spoken language today, it's different from what it was 2,000 years ago. But today in the Aramaic language, Abba means daddy. But the question is, did it mean that 2,000 years ago? Well, it certainly means father. It meant the father figure. But it seems like it was more commonly used in the New Testament, not to refer from a child's perspective of their father, but a grown, mature person's perspective of the father. Because when Jesus uttered the word Abba, Father, he said, Abba, Father. He was translating it, in a sense, right there for us. But regardless of whether the word is looking to one's dad from a perspective of youthful dependence, which would be daddy, or if it was looking at the father in terms of a more mature love of respect, which would be father. Of course, we're supposed to look at God our Father in both ways, right? We're completely dependent upon Him for all things. And He is the one who loves us, and we have the love for Him as a mature, grown people. So I don't think it's inappropriate to call Him daddy, to say, God, I'm completely dependent upon You. And of course, it's always appropriate to call Him Father. When we call Him that, though, it's not so much the words that we say, whether we say Daddy, Father, or Abba, but it's what those words represent. When we call God our Father, what we're saying is, God, You're our Master. You're our Creator. You're the one that made me, and You have all rights over me. And I look to You for all things. We're acknowledging that He has authority over everything, both our lives and all of the world, and saying, God, You are the Father. You created all things. And I look to You for guidance. I look to You for protection. I need Your strength in my life. And we long to please Him in everything that we do. Just as a child longs to please his father, we long to please God in all things, right? But He's more than that. He's more than a master. By calling Him Father, what we're saying is, You're part of our family. We're looking to You as not just some Lord over us, although He certainly is Lord of all things, and He has the right to do with us whatever He wants. But He's more than that to us. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. He's always working for our good. Always. Even when my dad, when I was a child, would work long hours, and I didn't see him as much as I would like, I knew he was doing that because he loved me, and he was providing for me. Now, God our Father, He can work long hours and still be right there with us. He's the perfect example of a father. He cares for us in all things. He provides for us in all things. And He has the strength to do anything that He wishes. And it's His desire to work for the good of those who love Him. Anyone who calls on Him, calls on Christ as Savior, and calls God his Father. I want us to notice in this text here in verse 6, the relationship between the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and ourselves. Look at verse 6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want us to notice from that the only reason that we can call God our Father is because the Spirit of the Son is inside of us. We have no right to call God Father except in the sense that He created us. We have no right to call Him Father in a personal way, saying that you're part of our family, unless the Spirit of God is inside of us. Because our sin separates us to the degree from God that we cannot possibly come near to Him. He's not our Father in a very personal, intimate sense until the Spirit comes inside of us. And it's in that moment that we can cry out, Abba, Father, thank you so much for protecting me. Thank you so much for always being there for me and always working for my good. And although I may not have experienced that from my earthly father, we can always say to God, you are my Father. You are the one protecting me in all things. God the Spirit, then, having that close, intimate, eternal relationship with God the Father, directs our hearts to the Father and because of the Son. See, we don't technically have the Father in our heart. We don't have God the Father living in us. And if you want to get real technical, we often say as Baptists, when you accept Jesus, you accept the Son to come into your heart, Jesus living in your heart. And technically, that's not true either. The truth of the matter is that the Spirit of God lives in us. God the Spirit, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit comes and makes His home within us. And it's through Him that we cry out to God the Father. We cry out for mercy, and He gives us grace. We cry out for strength, and the Spirit inside of us empowers us. We cry out for healing, and God's mighty hand, according to His power and His wisdom, heals us. So the question I want to ask us all this morning, are you crying out to God? Are you saying, God, I need you for my daily life. God, I need you to protect me in all things. God, I need your wisdom. I need you to guide me. Are you casting out all your cares upon Him because He cares for you? Are you not being anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God? Because it's that kind of relationship that the Spirit is able to give us with the Father in heaven because we have Christ in our hearts. And we cry out to God in that way. When we say, God, hear my prayer, we can be sure that God does hear us. God hears the prayers and hears the cries of those who have the Holy Spirit inside of them. The passage that Aaron read a moment ago, Luke chapter 11, said just that. We can ask our earthly fathers things, and they're going to give us what we ask for. They're not going to give us something bad. They're going to give us exactly what we ask for, a good thing. The earthly father is not going to give us a snake when we ask for a fish, or a scorpion when we ask for an egg. No, what does it say? It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The application of this text is not that God will give us everything that we desire, but that when unbelievers ask for the Holy Spirit, the Father is going to give him the Holy Spirit. And that's the first time that that person can call God their Father in the personal, intimate kind of way. It's interesting, though, that when we compare this passage from Luke to Matthew's account of the same sermon, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says this, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Instead of mentioning the Holy Spirit in Matthew, Matthew talks about good gifts. It says that God's going to give good gifts to those who ask of Him. And it could be said that these were two different sermons, and that's completely possible. I'm sure Jesus used some of the same illustrations when He spoke to different people. It's in two different books, and each book could have been a very accurate, a very literal word-for-word description of what Jesus said. And He could have used that same line of reasoning about the Father, an earthly Father giving good gifts to His children. After all, it says in verse 9, it uses a different illustration. It says, or what man is there among you when the son asks for a loaf of bread, we'll give him a stone. So that wasn't found in Luke. So it could be that Matthew was just reporting on a different sermon altogether, and the conclusion was slightly different, that the Father gives good gifts to those who ask him. But I think rather that this was the same sermon. Jesus told the same, I don't know if it was on two different occasions, but it was definitely the same illustration here with the Father. I think that the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God could possibly give us. So this, when Matthew reported that how much more would the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him, I think he was talking about the Holy Spirit right there. When we ask God for a good gift, he's going to give us the Spirit. When an unbeliever comes to God for the first time and says, I need your salvation, the first time, God's going to give him the Holy Spirit to live inside of his heart. And this is the greatest gift that God could ever give us. The goodest gift. Far greater than any blessing that God could give us in this life. Far greater than heaven or eternal life. Far greater than those things is God Himself making a home inside of our hearts. Can you imagine that? God Himself lives in our hearts. If that doesn't completely amaze you, you've got to think about that a bit more. Who you are in relation to God. We're completely sinful. God can't live inside of us. But because of Christ, He can and He does to anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give a stone when you ask for a bread. When you ask for life, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that's true of anybody who's called on Christ as Savior. And it's true for anybody who will call on Christ as Savior. If you've never called on Christ in that way, take that passage to heart. God may not be like the Father that you knew growing up, but He is the perfect Father. Far greater than any of the best fathers that lived on this planet. He will never let us down. He will always care for us, and He will always give the Holy Spirit in abundance, and He will always hear our cries for help.